This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Tuesday, November 16th, 2021. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Alexis Kenyon is operating the board. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, the city of Aurora was once again the scene of a mass shooting yesterday. We're going to hear from a woman who became an organizer against gun violence after her brother was killed in eerily similar circumstances. This Week in Water takes a look at how eating hamburgers harms coral reefs, and we'll play our weekly comment line. Comments from listeners who share their thoughts about what they hear on KGNU. The How on Earth crew is taking a break this week, so at 8:30 we'll hear the latest edition of Science in Action from the BBC. Then at 9 a.m. it's the wit and wisdom of Alan Watts, the British philosopher, writer, and speaker known for interpreting Eastern religious ideas for a Western audience. Then at 9:30, Terry Reardon will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon. But first, it's time for local and regional headlines with Stacey Johnson.
A drive-by shooting at Aurora's Nome Park left 6 teenagers from Aurora Central High School wounded yesterday. The Aurora Police Department has confirmed all 6 victims, with ages ranging from 14 to 18, are students at the high school. All 6 were hospitalized and are expected to survive, although one student underwent emergency surgery. Police say they believe assailants fired multiple guns from a car and possibly on foot in and near the park. No arrests have been reported as of early this morning. Yesterday's shooting comes amid a rise in violent crime targeting youth in Aurora. The Denver Post reports 3 teens have been killed by gunfire in Aurora in the past 3 weeks. According to gun violence prevention groups Students Demand Action and Moms Demand Action, firearms are the leading cause of death among children and teens in Colorado. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment has made new agricultural overtime rules. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
The new overtime rules will make Colorado among only 6 states who have an agricultural overtime for workers' rights and protections. Colorado Newsline reports that Senate Bill 2187 overturns the state's prior rule that exempted agriculture employers from giving out any overtime pay. Now, starting November 1, 2022, through December 31, 2023, agricultural employers must provide overtime pay at 1.5 times the regular rate for more than a 60-hour work week. And then in 2024, the rules change by taking into consideration if a farm is a highly seasonal agricultural employer versus farms that are non-highly seasonal, like dairy farms. Also included are small farms with an average adjusted gross income of $1 million or less over the 3 years preceding 2024. In most cases, agricultural employees who work more than 15 hours in a single day are to be paid an additional amount equal to 1 hour's pay at the minimum wage. SB 87 is also requiring new rules for agricultural labor conditions. Comments are now being accepted on the new labor condition rules until December 20th. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
The Colorado Supreme Court unanimously approved yesterday the state House and Senate maps drawn by the Colorado Independent Legislative Redistricting Commission. The court's approval is the last step for the congressional and redistricting process done once a decade. The process was overseen for the first time by independent commissions created through voter passage of Amendments Y and Z in 2018. The Colorado Supreme Court previously approved the new U.S. House congressional maps on November 1st. According to the Colorado Sun, the new state legislative maps appear to favor Democrats maintaining a majority in the General Assembly. The city of Boulder has reopened the popular Royal Arch Trail. The trail was closed for 6 months because of significant maintenance and reconstruction work. According to the city's news release, the Boulder Open Space and Mountains Parks Department conducted extensive reconstruction along 1,000 feet of the trail to realign it away from more sensitive wildlife and plant habitats. The department will conduct additional maintenance along the trail in 2022, which will require additional closures. The Colorado Housing and Finance Authority has awarded Boulder Housing Partners tax credits to help finance the Mount Calvary Senior Apartment Community in South Boulder. The award includes a close to $700,000 in state affordable housing tax credits and roughly over $1 million in 4% state low income housing tax credits. According to a Boulder Housing Partners news release, the Mount Calvary development features 60 apartment homes for residents 55 and older and includes 15 homes for older adults exiting homelessness. Boulder Housing Partners plans to break ground on the apartment community mid-2022. Today's weather for the upper metro front range includes partly sunny skies and breezy winds with highs reaching the upper 60s, low 70s. Winds could gust as high as 33 miles per hour for Denver and Fort Collins and 37 miles per hour for Boulder. There is a red flag warning starting 10 a.m. this morning to 5 p.m. this afternoon as wind and low relative humidity is expected for most of the urban corridor and nearby plains. Tonight, there is a slight chance of rain and snow showers with lows in the upper 20s. The current temperature outside the Boulder studios is 63 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Within journalism circles, there's quite a bit of debate about projecting impartiality or indicating a position on any given matter in the news. I'm going to break my morning newsreader character and flat out put these cards on the table. I hate mass shootings and everything about them. I hate dropping everything to chase details. I hate starting the morning writing about them. But most of all, I hate how they've become a recurring facet of our lives. So when I saw the news yesterday about a mass shooting that wounded six high school students in Aurora's Nome Park, I thought both, not again, and how am I going to cover this tomorrow morning? What can be added to the conversation that hasn't already been said? And my mind kept coming back to a speech aired on The Morning Magazine my first month on the job. The speaker is Maisha Fields of the Brady Campaign, and it was recorded by KGNU's Rosanna Longo-Better in April. Fields became an organizer against gun violence after her brother was killed after witnessing a mass shooting in a park, much like the shooting yesterday in Aurora. We'll go to that speech now.
My name is Maisha Fields, and I am the Vice President of Organizing for Brady. And the way I came to this fight was laying in a crib. My daughter, I just had her. And my husband kept saying, it's time to get her out of the bed. It's time for her to sleep in this beautiful room that you made me paint. You made me put this crib together. You made me buy this expensive rocking chair that you never sit in. It's time for her to go to her own room. And so I said, okay. And so it didn't work. And my daughter, Nyla, just cried all night long because she wanted to be next to me. So I got into the bed with her. I got into the crib. I don't know if anybody's ever done that. Anybody slept in a crib before? It's very uncomfortable. So I'm in the crib. I'm breastfeeding. She's quiet. I'm like, okay, maybe this may work for a couple weeks. She's in the crib. And all of a sudden, I get a call from my mother. And my mother called. It's 3 a.m. I'm in California. I'm working as a nurse. And my mother says, they killed your brother. And I said, what? My brother, a graduate from Colorado State University, who had only graduated 15 days ago. I said, what, this, I'm thinking it's a dream, you know, because I'm sleeping in a crib. And I said, mommy, just give me a minute. I climb out the crib, like literally, trying to keep the baby asleep. I said, mommy, What are you talking? She says, the police are here. They just knocked at my door. And they told me they killed your brother. And in those moments, it's so unreal. It's so unreal. My brother was shot in relation to seeing a mass shooting at a park. Just like this. There was a concert in the park in the summer. Families there. Kids playing. Music going. He witnessed 7 people be shot. And they murdered him because he was willing to say, I saw what happened. We're all here today. It's beautiful outside. We're from Colorado. We know the weather goes up and down. We just came through COVID. And the only thing I can remember about COVID and why I felt safe was because there were no mass shootings. In the whole month of March, we had no mass shootings. We saw a decline in community violence, but we also saw an uptick of women who were being murdered because of domestic violence. We can't change what we're not willing to confront. And so what we must confront is the fact that we have a problem, a very strong problem with our relationship with guns. And specifically assault weapons. Specifically assault weapons. We have a problem with guns and an unhealthy relationship with them. We have a problem that we don't have elected officials who are willing to be courageous. We need elected officials who are willing to say, I believe in assault weapon ban. Yes. We need elected officials who are willing to say, enough is enough. I want everyone to say, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Louder, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
All the way back there, I want you to say, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
We have the power to end gun violence in this lifetime. For each and every one of our babies who have to go to school and have a lockdown drill. What is going on? We vote these people in office. They work for us. And the number 2 public health agenda that we have in the United States of America after COVID, guess what it is? Gun violence. Over 100 people die every day, but 391 are shot. 391 people are shot. And so I want everyone to know today, I may have been crawling up out of a crib and have had to come into this club, which no one wants to be a part of. No one wants to join the survivor movement, because no mother should ever have to bury their child. No father should ever have to bury their child. But we are here. And because we're here, we're gonna fight. We're gonna fight. We're gonna fight from state to state, 51 states, every city, every county. We are gonna make sure that this is the number 1 public health issue that our leaders lead on. And so with that, I want everyone to put your fist up in the air and say, when we fight, we win. Let me hear you say, when we fight, when we fight,
we win.
When we fight,
we win.
We win.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
That was Myesha Fields with the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Time now for the latest edition of This Week in Water with Jamie Sudler and Franny Halperin.
How eating hamburgers can harm coral reefs. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report, I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
As the COP26 talks in Glasgow, Scotland were closing on Saturday, the conference president, Alex Sharma, said that the goal of keeping global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius was still alive, but its pulse was weak.
Experts have said that to get there, it's essential to eliminate coal. A deal had been reached among the 197 nations to phase it out, but at the last minute, the language was changed when India and China said they would only agree to phase coal use down.
A representative of Maldives said that they were deeply disappointed by the outcome of the conference and that the difference between 1.5 and 2 degrees Celsius is for them a death sentence. They're already running out of fresh water, and their coral reefs are dying.
The Glasgow Climate Pact was seen by many as not going far enough to limit global warming. Still, it was the first time that a COP agreement mentioned coal. And in another first, the parties did agree to phase out subsidies for fossil fuels, although there was no agreed timeline.
Also, a proposal to fund payments to vulnerable nations for loss and damage caused by climate change was left out of the final text because of resistance from the U.S. and the EU. The countries agreed to reconvene next year at COP27 with updated plans for slashing greenhouse gas emissions by 2030.
It may not seem like there could be a link between eating hamburgers and the health of ocean coral reefs, but there is. As the world eats more animal protein, more nitrogen ends up in wastewater that flows to the seas on top of what already runs off from agricultural fertilizers.
A new study from UC Santa Barbara says that human waste contributes about half as much nitrogen as agriculture. It's estimated that about 7 million tons of nitrogen gets added to coastal waters each year from human poop, the equivalent weight of 28 billion hamburgers.
Nitrogen leads to algal blooms that use up oxygen, release toxins, and kill corals. The study says that more than half of the world's coral reefs and almost 90% of seagrass beds are exposed to nitrogen from human waste.
The majority of wastewater is eventually discharged into the ocean. Treatment systems in the U.S. and Europe are not as effective in removing nitrogen as they are other pollutants.
COVID-19 cases are on the rise in some areas of the U.S., a worrying sign as winter approaches. Adding to that concern is a new study showing that deer are catching the coronavirus from people and rapidly spreading it to each other. That could affect the chances of eradicating the virus and increase the risk of new variants emerging.
Researchers led by Penn State University found that more than 80% of the white-tailed deer sampled in Iowa tested positive for COVID-19. And analysis showed the virus in the animals corresponded to the variants circulating in people.
Just how the deer got infected isn't clear, but The Guardian reports that they may have contracted it from discarded food, wastewater, human spit, or urine.
The findings suggest that the deer may be a reservoir for the virus to continually circulate and become a threat to other wildlife and possibly to humans. Officials in several states warned hunters to take precautions when handling the animals.
Ellen Carlin of Georgetown University said that we need to get better at detecting viruses in animals to prevent spillover to people, and that will require addressing urbanization, deforestation, and climate change. And finally, as the holiday season approaches, there will be decorations, wrapping paper, and ornaments sparkling with glitter. The festive stuff we find on our clothes, in our hair, and seemingly everywhere long after the party's over.
Glitter also finds its way into soils and the ocean. And because it's made from tiny flecks of plastic and aluminum that don't degrade, it's an environmental nightmare.
But glitter doesn't have to be a party pooper. Researchers from the University of Cambridge have created a sustainable, non-toxic version from nature, and it sparkles just as bright.
The glitter is made from cellulose found in the cell walls of plants, fruits, and vegetables. Nanocrystals in the cellulose bend light in a way that creates vivid colors, like those found in butterfly wings and peacock feathers.
Also, it takes less energy to make than conventional glitter, which uses fossil fuels to heat pigments as high as 800 degrees.
The researchers hope to have the new glitter on the market in the coming years. Unfortunately, it will be just as annoying as the old stuff and collect everywhere, but at least it won't harm the planet.
And the best part? It's vegan, so you can eat it when you're done.
That's it for This Week in Water, which you are hearing because of generous support from listeners. Visit h2oradio.org for details, and thank you.
Children's advocates are urging Congress to swiftly pass the Build Back Better Act, part two of President Joe Biden's economic and infrastructure priorities. The measure includes provisions to allow more schools to provide free meals to all students and extends summer meal assistance for students and women with infants and children enrolled in nutrition programs. Eric Galatis has more.
This week, the U.S. House is expected to finally put the Build Back Better Act up for a vote, and children's advocates in Colorado are pushing the state's congressional delegation to advance a bill they say will ensure that more kids can access nutritious food. Ashley Wieland with Hunger Free Colorado says the measure would remove barriers to allow more schools to participate in free in-school and summer meal programs.
In Colorado, we've been left out a lot because our low-income kids are so dispersed around the state, but the provisions in the Build Back Better plan would make that a better option for more of the schools who do serve a larger percentage of low-income children.
Among other so-called soft infrastructure priorities, Build Back Better would expand the number of schools that offer free meals to all students and extend a program to help students who receive free or reduced-price school meals access food when school cafeterias close for the summer. Republicans and some Democrats oppose the measure, citing its close to $2 trillion price tag and concerns about rising national debt. Whelan notes that Build Back Better was designed to be fully paid for by closing tax loopholes for corporations and the wealthiest Americans. She says helping students access nutritious food year-round can help them overcome the educational, health, and economic impacts of the pandemic and put them on a path to become successful adults.
Kids need to not be hungry to learn. We're investing in our public education, and it's important that that education is working for all kids. So it's really important that we also ensure all kids have access to the food they need.
Build Back Better would provide $30 million for schools to upgrade kitchen equipment and $250 million to incentivize healthier meals. The measure also allows states and tribes that participate in nutrition programs for women, infants, and children to provide additional summer meal assistance. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Tonight on Hemispheres, the International Press Roundtable. This evening, the Roundtable team will bring the KGNU listener international news not often heard in the corporate mainstream media. That's tonight on Hemispheres, the International Press Roundtable at 6.
And now we check in with KGNU's comment line and the listeners who share their thoughts on what they hear on KGNU. It's actually just one comment this week, but here it is.
I was just listening to KGNU and they had that BBC thing on, and the BBC guy said that Benjamin Franklin was a U.S. president. And it dawned on me, he is on our money, but he's the only one on our money who's not a president, right? Anyway, maybe someone ought to let the Brits know that, you know, we don't have one extra president than they think or something. Have a good day.
If you'd like to make a comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave us a message at our comment line at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25. And that's all we have for today's Morning Magazine. Thanks to Stacey Johnson, Steve Miller, Rosanna Longo-Better, Jamie Sudler, and Franny Halperin. Alexis Kenyon has been operating the board. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Stay tuned for Science in Action. That's coming up just after these news headlines from the BBC.